This is Gohan from Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds podcast.
I didn't throw
up. I'm so mad you threw up that bag at SNES games. Dude, that was like a $500 bag, no lie. Like, I would have done the work for us and split the money.
I mean, I might be able to go retrieve it.
Where is it? Is it in the dumpster?
It's in the dumpster.
Go get it, dude.
It might be full of water now, though.
Oh.
I took out everything downstairs. No. I took everything out of downstairs, too. Like, all those racks and shit down there, and it's...
You gotta try to retrieve it and see what condition, because it's in that bag. It might be good.
Yeah, I don't know. The Sega might be right on top, because that shit.
You threw out the Sega too?
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude!
It was either throw it out or put it in my trunk, and I didn't want to put any more shit in my trunk.
You could have put it in your trunk, brought it here. I would have taken it.
I have too much shit in my trunk.
I would have came and got it.
It's too much shit in the trunk.
No, dude, that was like $500 worth of shit, probably more with the Sega. Oh my god. Oh my god. I can't believe you threw that shit out. You had Chrono Trigger in there.
You're listening to episode 87 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast, the week of July 11, 2021. I made a change. Usually, I'd make the date Friday.
Yep.
For now on, I'm going to make the date Sunday, since we record on Sundays/Mondays.
Yep.
So at least now it covers the entire week. You know?
Word.
Super smart.
Smart thinking.
The weekly podcast that covers the latest and important gaming and nerd culture news, hosted by Gags and Dill. Coming off of our holiday break.
Oh, yeah.
How you been? Playing any games?
Nope.
I beat a game.
Playing any Apex.
And Ranked comes soon. Did you see that?
What?
They have Ranked come into the arena mode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm already too good at the arena mode.
Is that worth it to you, Ranked mode, for that?
I feel like it's already intense enough to feel like it's already Ranked. I don't know how much more Ranked is going to make it different.
So when you play, and do you even care about Ranked mode? I always wonder that.
I play Ranked, yeah.
Do you?
But I usually only try to play if I have at least another guy.
Like someone you know,
like
personally?
Someone I know, yeah.
All right, so it's...
I don't like
do you have, like, your Ranked, and do you even care about your Rank at all?
I mean, sometimes I try to get it really high. I try to get to Predator, but it hasn't worked out.
Do you get any benefits or hidden it? Like, do you get unlock anything special, or...
No, not really.
It's just
for, like, status.
Yeah, you're on your
goat.
High horse over there?
The I've only gotten, I think, like, Platinum 1.
Platinum 1 right under Predator?
No, then it's like Diamond, Master, Predator.
Oh, so you're never even close.
No. But I also don't play enough to, like, because you got to just, sometimes playing Ranked is just, when you get that high,
yeah.
Like, you're not going to win every game, so you got to grind and just try to get, like, you know, plus 30 RP.
Yeah.
And then when you get to that, it takes, like, 4,000 RP to rank up.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't have the time.
What is RP? Respawn points or something?
Just, like, Ranked points.
Oh, Ranked
points.
So,
like, if you get a kill.
Yeah,
you know, and an assist, you might get 7 points.
Oh, yeah, so you're probably ending some
but
games
then
with zero.
If you die, like, right away, then you're getting minus 40s. So now you're going back.
Oh.
So then, like, it's a grind once you get up to, like, platinum.
So
like,
plus every kill is plus 30?
I don't know what the actual, like, number is. But each time you go to a new rank, it's different. Like, so when you get to platinum, you got to get at least 3 kills just to get any points from it.
Yep.
But then if you die right away, you're minus 90 now.
Can you drop a rank, too?
Yeah.
Oh.
Once you get to, like, platinum, I don't think you drop anymore. But you can in, like, the... bronze to gold.
Gotcha.
But like I've only got, I think I might have got to diamond one time, but that might have been on PS4, so that was a different lobby.
It was a whole different game.
But like on PC, I think I've only gotten like high platinum, but I never had a squad to that was just me playing with random people.
And you still don't play mouse and keyboard, right?
No, I still know.
So you
but like I could get from bronze to like platinum in a day, and then just never play for like another 3 weeks, and by the time I get back into rank, the season's about to end, and then it resets. So I'm like,
what's the point?
Like, every time I get, like, high up and I start getting back into it, the season resets, and then I'm back to bronze.
Dude, I'm telling you, get into Valorant, learn how to use that keyboard and mouse.
Fuck that.
You learn that keyboard and mouse, I feel like me and you, we're going to go to the fucking moon.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't know if I can get into that game, but I could try it.
I beat Metroid Zero Mission, which is a remake of the first Metroid.
Proof?
I have screenshots.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, though, believe it or not, 5 hours to beat the entire game.
That's not bad.
It's a really short game. I never realized that. I was not playing Metroid 2 because it's a Game Boy Color game. And then they have a remake on the 3DS. I don't have a 3DS, so I said, fuck it.
Yep.
So I watched a YouTube recap.
That doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
And then I beat Super Metroid.
Yep.
That's the SNES one. So that's technically the third in the story.
So were you just looking up like YouTube walkthroughs and just like cheating the whole way? Or?
Never.
I don't see you putting in the time for the grind.
5 hours to beat the first one.
You sounded like a TA.
No. 5 hours to beat the first one.
That sounds like a lot of cheating. It's more like a 10-hour game.
No, it's actually really short. I found out you're supposed to beat the game in 2 hours.
How'd you find out?
I looked up like
the
everything.
Walkthroughs?
No, no. There was on the when I played Metro Zero Mission, there was one thing I had to look up because I was so confused.
Wow.
Well, because you play and it'll be like, oh, bomb this random corner in this room, and it's like, how the hell would I ever know that? Like,
it's like Metal Gear Solid 1 when you walk into that literally room and fight Ocelot. You don't know you got to see four of the walls. Nothing tells you to see four of the walls.
Right.
So you're just sitting in that room waiting for something to happen. Nothing ever happens.
Dude, I'm using all my missiles just shooting walls trying to figure out what to do. So I was like, all right, I need to know what to do.
I'm assuming you didn't grind on any anime.
I finished Jujutsu Kaisen.
You watched... Did you finish it? Yeah,
all of it.
Yeah. Crazy.
I caught up on My Hero Academia.
So you saw my boy Megumi go into his domain?
Yes.
When he's all crazy?
Yeah. I saw the whole thing.
He's crazy.
And then they fought the dude with the back.
Yeah.
That's how it ends, like, that fight. And then I am on episode 6 or 7 of Tokyo Revengers because I'm watching
the
dub.
You got to get up to, like, where it's at right now. It's so crazy right now.
Don't spoil anything.
It's so fucking crazy right now. Last week's episode was fucking nuts.
Although, shout out to AJ Speckles. He's a voice actor from this area. He's the main character in Tokyo Revengers. I didn't know that.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's fucking my boy Takamichi-kun?
Yes.
That's interesting.
I didn't realize that until he posted something on Twitter. I was like, holy shit.
That's dope. You got to get him for the thing.
I might ask him because I talk to him on Twitter a decent amount.
Oh, you guys are friends?
Not like that, no.
This guy's famous.
He is a person I know about, and I am just a person who comments on his things that he replies to.
Just like
to.
You and Derek Carr.
We're best friends. Don't fuck that up for me. That's as far as I am. Right now, they're trying to save Kenny. They know he dies at some fight. They just don't know how.
Did you call him Kenny?
That's what they call him in the show.
Oh, my God. Do they?
Well, because technically, everyone calls him something else.
You're talking
about
the guy with the ponytail.
Yes.
Yeah, Draken.
Yes. So everyone calls him that, but except for his friends.
His name is... they do call him Ken Chin. That's what they call him in the Japanese.
Oh, they call him Kenny.
Ken Chin.
They call him Kenny in the dub.
Yeah, no.
Well, technically only his friends call him
Kenny. You're supposed to call him Draken. That's his name.
Yes, he gets mad when you call him Kenny, too.
Draken-kun, that's it. Or you call him Ken.
Yeah, he gets pissed when you call him Kenny.
It has to be Ken Chin.
Nah, I like Kenny better.
He's the dopest character.
He's fly.
Yeah, but he's going to have some problems. That's what I'm saying. The next couple episodes, from like 8 to 13, are just...
Yep. No, I'm...
So, like, you have any...
Oh, 8 to 13?
Have they got to the big brawl yet?
No, so that's it. It's just about to happen. Big brawl.
Where, though? In the warehouse?
In a warehouse.
Oh, so that's not the big brawl.
Okay.
That's the semi... That's what starts the big brawl.
Gotcha.
That brawl is pretty nuts.
Yep.
But, yeah.
But now I understand like what Mikey you mean too. With what going
they,
back...
Do they call him Mikey?
Yes.
The other one?
Yep.
All right, yeah. Mikey? Wait, so does that mean you've seen what happened to Takamichi's boy when he was in the present, when he got back?
He jumps off the roof?
Yes. Yeah, watch what this dude does this time.
Yeah, no, you can tell there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, well, you think everything's all good. I was like, because that's why I thought they were stopping it halfway and going to do something different.
Yeah.
Because episode 12 ends like solid. You're like, oh, he got everything he wanted.
Yeah.
And then that third one just hits you right in the...
Is 13 the final?
No.
Finale?
No, it's going to go to 24.
Okay. All right. So I have plenty to watch.
He's going
then.
Right back into his mission now because he thought it was all good, and it's not.
Yeah, I seen
it's
a clip.
Not,
it was
it's
a
not
bit
good.
Of a spoiler.
My boy Takamichi-kun.
All right, let's take a short break and be back with the news.
Yeah,
all right, we're back with the news. Quick news of the week. Final Fantasy 1 through 6 Pixel Remaster games will be releasing on Steam on July 28th. Dark Souls 3 received the FPS boost treatment on Xbox Series X/X, bringing the game to 60 frames per second. King of Fighters 15 will launch Q1 of 2022 for PS4, PS5, PC, Xbox Series X and S. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt's next-gen version will release this year and feature free DLC based on the Netflix series. I think they're going to add a skin to make it look like Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And then Silent Hill publisher Konami has confirmed a partnership with Blooper Team, developer of horror games such as The Medium and Blair Witch. They haven't said what they're making, but it's so obvious it's going to be Silent Hills.
Yeah.
Do you even care about the Silent Hills franchise?
Nope.
Do you think that people know that more for the games or the movies at this point?
I feel like the movies.
Right? Like, when was the last fucking Silent Hill game?
I don't even think I've ever played one.
I have, and it's so... It's like Resident Evil without the combat. And
so
Resident
that's
Evil,
whack.
Exactly.
Yeah, you need the combat.
And even Resident Evil's combat in the earlier ones sucked.
It does suck, but I feel like that's what makes it scarier, though.
Yeah, the tank controls.
When you're trying to fucking shoot someone with the zombie, that's if you just see it over whatever, like it's different. But if you're trying to survive, that's what gets you.
Yeah.
It gets you pumping.
Well, you're
because you'll be you're aiming like this, and then you turn around, there's a guy right in your face. Like that's what gets you going crazy.
Yep. I tried playing Resident Evil 4 this year. I couldn't do it. I could not do
the controls.
Bad.
I tried playing it on the. on the not illegal emulator that
Spenny
had on his laptop. Not my laptop, but his laptop.
For legal reasons, we own a physical copy.
Facts. And I tried playing it, and it was just so shitty. I was just like, I'm pretty sure the controls were inverted too, and I was like, I don't like this. Like,
you know, technically, Resident Evil 4 is considered one of the greatest video games of all time.
I feel like I might have been playing 3 or 4. Like,
4 is the one where you're Leon Kennedy.
I feel like I was him. I started in like a snowy area, like snowy forest.
Maybe it's like a village.
Like,
I don't know if it's
but like
snowy.
A beat down village.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
I went into a building and I got there was a guy in there and he tried to kill me. I had to kill him.
That does sound like Resident Evil 4.
But like sounds it was like kind of snowy out in the village. Like
I don't know. If
I feel
it's
like it was
snowy.
Snowy.
It
I
might
feel
be.
Like
I don't remember. It might be ash because like it's burning.
Maybe I only played like 20 minutes of it because I was just like this is so
yeah,
shitty.
Yeah, I can't do
this
it.
This is so shitty.
It's I need those Metacritic scores of the week. Disgaea 6, Defiance of Destiny, Metacritic score of a 74, user score of 5.6. Doki Doki Literature Club Plus, Metacritic score of 86, user score of 8.2. This was like a super viral game on the PC that just came to consoles.
Yeah, I never heard of it.
It is hidden as a dating sim game that's actually a horror game. It was like super viral when it came out.
That's interesting.
On the PC, it used to have like a fake X window button, so you'd think you closed out of the game and you didn't, and then stuff would pop up on the screen still. Yeah, it had like some smart ideas, but
that's funny.
I'm not sure how that works on a console.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
All right, so big news of the week, Nintendo unveils upgraded Switch with bigger screen releasing alongside Metroid Dread this fall. This is by Benjamin Bullard on sci-fi.com. Just in time for Samus Aran to make her new Switch debut, Nintendo is prepping for the launch of a new improved Switch console, one with a bigger screen, new tabletop stand, and some new on-the-go audio tricks. The big end broke news today as the new Nintendo Switch OLED model will go on sale this fall on the very same day that Metroid Dread delivers the first new Switch game for the Metroid franchise since the hybrid console first went on sale back in 2017. The new console comes in two colors, is compatible with the previous Switch Joy-Con controllers and docks, and increases the screen size to 7 inches, a notable boost from the 6.2 on the original Switch, and 5.5 inches on the Switch Lite. It also swaps out the older console's LCD screen, says Nintendo, for a new OLED unit that provides vivid color and crisp contrast. The new OLED model doesn't appear to come with the hardware and visual performance boost that earlier speculation fueled by a Bloomberg article earlier this year, citing inside sources forecast might also be included. Nintendo makes no mention of any new features that would support 4K gaming or improve speed and rendering over the base Switch console. But the boosted console does come with features that'll upgrade its performance in the hybrid and on the go modes, including the enhanced audio for handheld and tabletop play, and a flip-up tabletop stand that allows players hands-free use of their controllers, while the console itself serves as the mini display. And the colors are a blend of old and new, the classic red and blue unit, which comes with the neon red and neon blue Joy-Con controllers, a black main unit, and a black dock, while the new white console features white Joy-Cons, a black main unit, and a white dock. All this OLED goodness comes as the Switch shows no sign of stopping this long-running dominance in the world of video game console sales, and it arrives for $349.99 on October 8th, same day that Metroid Dread launches. Do you even think this was worth like releasing this year?
It doesn't seem like too much extra to me.
So, I don't think if you own like a normal Switch, it's really worth upgrading.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, enough to want to upgrade to the next one?
Unless you play handheld all the time.
Yeah.
Because the improvements are only
if you have like a Switch Lite.
Well, if you have a regular Switch, technically, and you play the regular Switch only handheld,
yeah,
you are getting a bigger, better screen. Like but the OLED.
If you were just playing the regular Switch handheld, why wouldn't you just get the Switch Lite? Better battery.
Well, you do have the option to dock it if you ever wanted to.
I never docked mine.
Yeah. So it might be worth it.
See, that would be decent for me because I like the tabletop stand because I like playing with my Pro Controller.
So the whole back now is a flat.
See, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Because I like playing with my Pro Controller.
Right.
Just from far, like a little close to me so I can see it, but yep, not like the other one I had to like prop it up or something, or
yep,
I didn't fuck with that.
Now the dock on this one is slightly different too. It doesn't do anything really different, but the main difference is it has the LAN built into it, like the Ethernet cable.
Oh yeah.
So that's a big difference.
So does that mean you have to plug it in though too?
No, you can still do Wi-Fi if you want. The only problem with that is it's not really an improvement because my Switch downstairs is already plugged into the Ethernet. You can buy adapter,
yeah, yeah,
which is like $20. So really, you're paying $50 for a better screen,
which isn't that really crazy to be on the Switch. You're not really playing competitive games like that.
No, but it's going to look really good.
It'll look nicer.
For Breath of the Wild, imagine that on an OLED.
But is it worth just...
I don't know. That's where it gets... This, honestly,
to
me...
If you don't have a Switch at all...
Exactly. That's what I was about to say.
It's only 50 extra bucks.
This might be the one that finally pulls you in.
If you have a Switch Lite, maybe.
If you bought a Switch Lite and you've been playing it since it released, and you're thinking to yourself, maybe I'll upgrade because I want it now.
If that's all you have, then you might want it just for the dock purposes itself.
Get the OLED, exactly. So that's where... And now you are getting the improved handheld play because you're getting the OLED. I'm trying to think of who this is for, you know?
It's definitely not targeting people that just have the regular Switch.
No.
Who's just going to...
It's really for the hardcore of hardcore.
Unless you somehow find a way to sell your Switch for like a decent amount, then that's the only reason why I'd want to upgrade.
I think it was, it could be Canada or Ireland. I forget who it is. GameStop there posted their deal. If you trade in your normal Switch and two games, you can get the Switch OLED for $50.
That's a steal.
It's not a bad.
That's a steal.
But it also includes on the two games, it's a very specific list, and
so
it'll be
like high price games.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
But still, it's not bad.
Right,
not
if you
deal.
Beat Luigi's Mansion 3 and you don't think you're ever going to return to that, that's one of the games. That's not a bad one.
But once you beat that, what do you need it for?
Exactly. So there is online multiplayer, but I have no idea who plays that.
So that's not bad. That's not a bad deal.
Now, the problem with this is we've had the Switch Pro rumors forever with the enhanced...
I don't like how it's just called Switch OLED. It's kind of whack.
It's horrible. It's not even just Switch OLED. It's Switch OLED model.
See, that's stupid to me.
That's a horrible name.
Terrible drop.
I do think, moving forward, though, after the normal Switch sells out, this will be the base Switch moving forward.
Sure. And then they're going to have to come out with something better. Switch Pro.
So here becomes the problem, is all of the people who are saying, the Switch Pro rumors... have been saying for a while. I've heard 2022 for the Switch Pro. I don't know where people are saying 2021. So if they release this, you buy this, and then all of a sudden, a couple months later in 2022, they announce the Switch Pro.
They're not going to do it now.
Right?
Switch Pro is not coming to 2023 now.
Well, what if they launch it now alongside Breath of the Wild 2?
Then what's the point of dropping this?
I feel like
you won't see it until Christmas 2021. Oh, no, 2022.
Which,
almost 2023.
Right, could be.
And maybe they drop Breath of the Wild 3 at that point.
Well, that's what I'm... Because think about it. Next year, we have Pokemon Arceus, which is in January. You would think you would want the Pro model
for
that game.
But now they've got the OLED for it.
Right, there's no shot.
So,
Splatoon 3, which we don't have a date yet.
And that OLED comes out, a month before that? Brilliant Diamond 2? Because that comes out November.
Yep. Yeah. So
that'll be good for those type of games.
It will,
better graphics looking, better looking screen.
Because those are games you can play handheld. Yeah. Even Metroid is more of a handheld game.
But Pokemon, I feel like, is definitely to me, it's a handheld.
Handheld.
Game. I mean, it would probably look good on the dock, but...
Oh, I played Sword and Shield docked.
Yeah,
it looks good.
That would probably be good on it, because you don't really do much.
But if you play it docked, right, that OLED screen means nothing.
Yeah, no, exactly. So the whole point of it, honestly, is to play handheld.
This is such,
They should have just made this the Switch Lite, too.
Yeah,
And just kept it handheld, because that's pretty much all it's.
Yeah.
You're gonna use it for get the screen.
I kind of agree. I think the problem is
the point of docking it.
That's it.
And then let the Switch Pro be the new dock thing.
Right.
And then make that one the crazy one.
I'm honestly surprised at this point they haven't made a docked only version, a little box they sell.
Yeah.
That is the Switch that you can't. So it's only just
it just stays in the dock.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a cheaper model that you can.
What's the point of that if you have the Switch?
Yeah,
there's no point. That was the whole point of the Switch was to go docked or handheld.
I know.
So it's I just feel if the whole point of this thing was going to be the screen, you
should
have made it the light.
Yep.
Better screen with a better battery, that's all you want.
Right.
Because now this better screen on this regular Switch is probably going to eat that battery right up. I guarantee the battery is going to be worse than the Switch Lite.
They claim that it's not.
I guarantee it will.
Yeah,
there's no way it's not.
Right, because the OLED, I don't know. The OLED uses different technology.
I feel like that battery is going to go.
It still says it has the same battery of the normal Switch that's out now.
Which is shit compared to the Switch Lite.
No.
It's cut in half, isn't it?
No. Remember, they made a revision of the original Switch where all they did was improve the battery.
All right.
So the regular Switch actually has a better battery than the Switch Lite.
Yeah, but not the original.
No.
The one that I bought, that thing would die in 2 hours.
Actually, if you have the original, like you said, the one that dies in 2 hours, maybe it's worth the upgrade now.
Absolutely.
Because the battery is two times better.
Yeah, no, that one was... The original was ass. I played Breath of the Wild for 2 hours, it'd be done.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Done.
Right, I would basically just...
That's the only reason why I'd go docked, was to charge it.
To charge
it. And then when it was full again, I'd take it right back off and go fucking handheld. So
this is such a disappointing improvement.
Yeah, that's...
I'm still gonna buy it day one, but
of course you are. But that's not—it's not very exciting.
I know it compared to what it like when they showed the trailer. Though I was so hyped because they didn't reveal that there were no improvements in the trailer. I was like, oh my god, this is finally it. And then you read the specs after,
and you're like wow.
God damn, yeah.
Wow.
Played you.
Yeah, it was.
Gotcha.
It was the most disappointing thing I've ever seen. To wake up to that news, be excited, and then immediately let down.
You probably called out of work and just cried.
I wish. I fucking wish. All right. Everything Sony showed at the latest big PlayStation event. This is funny because remember a couple weeks ago I said if Sony has a State of Play, what are they going to do? Show us Deathloop again for the 90th time? The headline game
Deathloop
of this.
There.
The headline game was 10 minutes of Deathloop.
Oh, my God.
Granted, it looks cool. Like Deathloop looks
awesome. It looked
awesome.
Cool from the beginning.
But the problem is how many times have we seen Deathloop?
For like a year and a half.
Easily.
Literally.
Easily.
It looked great the first time I see the trailer.
Oh,
like a year
God.
And a half ago.
And they gave us an in-depth 10-minute gameplay footage of it now.
I don't need that anymore.
I know.
Just drop the game.
I know. hold on. Let me grab this. They've also been using this weird like director's cut kind of branding for games that they're bringing to the PS5. I hate that branding. All right. So to start it off, they showed a Moss Book 2 in the works. That's the VR game with the mouse that I don't think anyone really uses PlayStation VR that much.
I've never even heard of it. Yeah,
really?
PSVR is not the best.
Moss, the first one on the PSVR, is like one of the flagship titles that people know.
Yeah.
So that was actually kind of a big announcement because this is the first time we've seen it.
I've only played the PSVR at Spenny's house.
Yeah.
Like, you just have like the base games that came with it. I mean, and they're cool, but I feel like it's
a cool like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
no?
It's not enough to like just get you going forever.
Yep.
But I don't know. The Oculus might be different because I've heard good stuff.
Oh, well, because that's you know,
like, yeah.
That's what it is. It's a VR.
It's dominant.
Arcadia Geddon is a new shooter out today in early access from the makers of Predator Hunting Grounds and Friday the 13th, the game. This bubbly Splatoon-looking multiplayer game gets a full release on PS5 and PC in 2022. This was a weird one. They said it looks like Splatoon. It's so weird, though, because it looked like a shooter slash looter slash like sports event. Player versus player at all time. It was such a weird... It almost reminded me of that Risk for Rain or whatever the hell it's called. It's like you start off at like level 1 and you kind of build up your guns and then once you die, that's it and you start over. Right. But this is like an online only... I'm so confused by
it. So is it out or is this like a... Is this
early
like a,
access.
All right. You have to get like specially invited to that? Or?
No, I think it's like the PS Plus for that month.
What about on PC though?
PC, I don't know.
It sounds somewhat interesting. I'd have to check it out.
I know some people have hands-on. They've been posting about it already, and they're like, it's fun for, like, 30 minutes. But again, it's early access. You don't know, like, full...
That's true. Some betas aren't good.
Yeah. We saw Tribes of Midgard again. If you remember this, during E3, this is the game that I said is the most forgettable-looking game I've ever seen. So they showed this off again. Honestly, forgot
still
it was...
Still forgettable?
When you read it on paper, it sounds like something better than when you actually see it.
Which
you
is
know,
disappointing.
Like, when I tell you it's a game that you create a character, pick his class, build him up to be as strong as you want, and fend off giants with your friends, sounds fun.
It does.
And then you see it, and you're like, I don't know if I ever could get into this.
That's disappointing.
Fist is a slick-looking side-scroller. So Fist is a side-scrolling game where you are a bunny with a robotic arm on your back. I have seen it so many times. It's kind of like Deathloop now.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those games that are going to release. The 10 people who play it are really going to love it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, its art style looks really good. The art style is the only thing that makes me realize that it is a PS5 game.
Yeah.
Other than that, it does not look...
Looks like it could be any other game.
Yeah, it looks like almost like a mobile game or something you'd see on the internet, PC.
Doing good, Sony. Doing good.
Hunter's Arena Legends... This was the weirdest game. So when they showed this off, they described it as a battle royale fighting game.
Okay.
Which sounds weird, right?
Yeah.
Now, when they showed the gameplay, it's a open world game, battle royale against your friends or with your friends, because there's solos and other lobbies. But the world is filled with enemies, too. So you beat up the enemies and you look for loot, and you can just happen to run across other people. And then if they kill you, I don't know what happens. Like, do you start over? Because they were saying in the trailer you want to build up your character and customize him the way you want him to play.
Yeah.
But then when you die, do you start
over?
So
who are you supposed to be fighting, though?
That's what I don't get. I don't get what
the
progression
actually
is. Like
the bad guys that are just spawned there, or are you supposed to be fighting real people?
Because, like, really in the world, there's dungeons, and you can go through the dungeons, but also, like, a real player could all of a sudden attack you.
Just kill you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So who are you supposed to be fighting?
That's what I don't know. Like what is the
progression? If it's a battle royale, you got to be the last one standing, I'm assuming. But between who?
Right. But they also described it as a fighting game, and it was not a fighting game.
I mean, does that just mean that when you go to kill someone, you fight hand-to-hand?
Well, it is all hand-to-hand combat, where I saw, like, one guy had a weapon, but,
yeah,
like
staff
there was no, yeah, there was no, like, guns or anything like that.
So you do got to fight people up close. I mean, that's it sounds dope to do a battle royale, like, with fighting.
Right. But it did not look like a battle royale, and it didn't look like a fighter, either.
That just sounds weird.
And that comes to early access in PC, PS4, and PS5 in August, part of PS Plus.
Interesting.
So you don't even have to pay if you have Sony Online. Sifu was shown off again. That was delayed to 2022. Sifu is the fighting game that looks really good, but every time you die, you age up, and you gain more abilities because your guy aged up.
Yeah.
But eventually, if you age too far, you will die.
You will die.
So, and then it was supposed to come out this year. It was shown off at, like, the PS5 event as, like, one of the PS5 launch games.
Yeah.
Now it's delayed to 2022.
Of course.
This game looks really good. It almost looks like Fight Club.
Yep, yep.
But the only problem is, like, when they show this game, I can't ever tell what actual gameplay is. So I don't know how this is going to control, how it's going to work.
Yeah.
But it is one of those, like, smaller indie games that everyone's hyping up because it does look really good.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait.
A little bit longer, huh?
Another year.
Jet the Far Shore has not been delayed. The new moody sci-fi adventure from the makers of Spectacular Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP is still on track to come to PS4 and PS5 before the end of the year. This was like a weird game where you are in a spaceship and then you transition right to being out of the spaceship. It's almost like, what's that game where you're in space? It's been out for years now. Not Outer Wilds. The space game where you build your ship and you go to all the planets. God, I can't believe I can't think of the name.
BioShock?
No. It's the online... Space Explorer game. I can't believe I can't think of it. But that one has combat in it.
Yeah.
This one does not... It's more about the resources.
Not into
No Man's Sky.
Oh, all right. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking
of. Heard of that, yeah.
So it looks like a boring No Man's Sky to me. Like, I don't... This seems like if you didn't like fighting in No Man's Sky, this is the game for you. But I feel like fighting is always half the game for me.
Yeah, of course.
They showed off Demon Slayer, Kitsune no Yaiba, the Hinokami
Chronicles.
Yep. Despite the hype, I have not paid a lick of attention to the popular Demon Slayer anime. Sega video game adaptation has me intrigued, though. It's out October 15th on PS4 and PS5. This looked like... what's that? Naruto...
Ninja Storm?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is what it looked
that's
like.
That's a dope game, so.
It looked like that, but more open world. Like, you weren't just controlled into, like a fighting arena.
I was going to say, the Naruto story mode's pretty much just fighting.
Actually, you know, it looked like that, but with a little bit of, what's the Dragon Ball Z one where you create a character?
Xenoverse.
Yes, it looked like Xenoverse, but with the
Naruto
kind of fight
line.
Style.
Yeah, that's dope.
It showed the... Gameplay in trailer was the in the show that remember that house they go into and it has the demon who can hit the bongos on them and it would so that was who they were fighting in the trailer and it showed kind of the big three I can't think of any of their names. Tanjiro was obviously there
Zenitsu,
and he was fighting Zenitsu was asleep fighting the guy
and
whatever the boar head guy's name is.
I'm trying to remember what's his face.
But he was there
he
fighting.
He says his name
monster.
So much in the movie, too.
I know.
I can't think of it.
We got Lost Judgment, which is the sequel to Judgment. This is the Yakuza spinoff. This is the game where you pretty much do whatever the hell you want. Like, it's almost like a...
GTA.
Japanese GTA.
Yeah.
But with an actual, like...
Storyline?
Yes. Yeah. Well, GTA has a storyline,
but... Not really.
Yeah. PS5 version of Death Stranding arrives September 24th. So Death Stranding Director's Cut... It comes with more content, more story missions. It comes with Melee, it says. more weapons, a shooting range. So they enhanced the combat in the game, because I guess that was like a big problem.
That's good.
What do you think about them using the director's cut for all these PS5 games? Because you have this director cut, you have the Ghost of Tsushima director cut.
Which I heard you have to buy like a whole separate...
Oh, I got like the... Let me explain. That's a whole other shitstorm.
Spenny was not happy with that. He said he was not happy.
The pricing for that is ridiculous. For this one, if you own the PS4 version,
it's just a $10 upgrade. $10 upgrade. Which is solid, but said he was pissed about...
Yeah, well, because the problem with the other director's cut is it comes with the Island of Icky.
Yeah.
So they want that to be a separate expansion.
Story,
so
yeah.
That cost is...
But he said he's still pissed.
Oh, yeah. I kind of get it. And then we got 9 minutes of Deathloop.
Great.
Again, it looks good.
Yeah, it's been looking so great.
That's the problem is I've seen it so many times now.
I liked that a long time ago when I seen it.
All right, so... If you look at this, they have so many games coming out in September now. And remember... We still are supposed to, right? We're supposed to get Horizon Forbidden West.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the reason why they're jamming Deathloop down our throat now is because they think that is the last big PS5 game they're going to be able to release this year.
Definitely. It's definitely the last one.
So I think it's going to be their big fall title.
Hopefully it's good.
There's no way it's not.
Yeah,
I hate saying that, but there's no way it's not.
Yeah.
With that being... So really... They haven't given us a date for Horizon Forbidden West yet. That leaves, if it's not, it can't be September, and it has to be after September.
I was going to think like December, if anything.
Right, so it's either October, November, December, but you also have to give the date so you can kind of market it more.
Yeah, give it a little time.
So I honestly think it's early 2022.
You have to like announce it in like September, October.
Yeah.
And then drop it December, January,
yeah.
February, in that range.
I think it's February.
That's a good time when everyone goes on school vacation.
Yeah.
All the kids can body it.
Yeah. Well, I honestly think it's February 2022. The Resident Evil games lately have been coming in January, and there's no other games that release that month, so they crush it.
Yeah, you might as well drop it in a month that no games are releasing.
And then you'll have everyone who got one for Christmas being able to buy it.
Yeah. If anyone gets it for Christmas. If anyone gets it.
Prior to the State of Play, right? Because that was everything shown in that State of Play. Kind of, I hate saying it, but a lame State of Play.
Very.
There are some games in there that are really going to speak to people. I mean, I'm looking at the list, right? Moss Book 2, Arcadia, Geddon, Tribes of Midgar, Fist, Hunter's Arena, Sifu, Jet, Demon Slayer, Lost Judgment. Lost Judgment, the people who like the first Judgment are going to like this a lot. Death Stranding Director's Cut. The problem with...
I feel like there's nothing on there that just stands out, though.
I think... The problem is we're so, like, kind of, like, whenever you see an event like this, a Sony one or a Microsoft or a Nintendo one, you expect, like, announcement.
Yeah, exactly. You expect too much at this point.
Yeah.
None of these stand out, like, crazy to me.
No.
If they hadn't shoved Deathloop down for 2 years, it might be crazy, but we've already seen it.
Right.
That's the only title that stands out. Besides the Demon Slayer, that sounds cool, but... Other than that, like, nothing really stands out like a crazy-ass game.
Right, because a lot of them are these online...
If it said, like, Hogwarts Legacy, I'd be pumped. Like, that's all I'd need, but it doesn't say
dude,
that.
Dude, that's a 2022... Dude, 2022 is stacked.
2022 is going to be good.
2022 might become one of the greatest game years in gaming history.
You might have to retire from work and dedicate that year to just gaming.
Well, because you get that one and the Batman game you want, too.
Yeah, that's going to be dope.
And there's the Suicide Squad game coming out.
That game's going to be dope. There's a couple games coming out.
Yeah.
It's still going to be dope.
So prior to this event, right, the week before, they announced Ghost of Tsushima Director Cut.
Yep.
Includes the DLC Icky Island. So here's the price breakdown for how that works. If you already own Ghost of Tsushima on the PlayStation 4, you will be able to purchase an upgrade to the Director's Cut for the PS4 for $20. If you own the PS4 version and want the upgrade to the PS5 version, it'll cost $30. So $10 more if you want to upgrade to the newer version.
Yeah.
If you purchase the Director's Cut for the PS4 and decide later to upgrade to the PS5, you'll be able to do it for $10. So if you don't have a PS5 yet, you can still upgrade to Director's Cut and then upgrade it again for only $10. Or if you don't own the game at all, you can buy Ghost of Tsushima's Director's Cut for $70 on the PS5 or $60 on the PS4. Super easy to follow, right?
It's so stupid.
Super easy. At this point, what I think they should have done.
So if in Spenny's case, if he's got it on PS4,
yep.
He'd have to pay the $30 to upgrade it to PS5,
yep.
And then pay what to get this director's cut.
No, that would be it.
That'd be it.
That would
so
be
he
it.
Would just get it.
Yeah. So does he have a PS5?
Yes.
All right, so he'd pay $30.
But he only has the PS4 Ghost of Tsushima.
Right, so you would only
you pay... just pay the $30.
Yep, because right. There technically is no PS5 Ghost of Tsushima. Yep. This would be the PS5 version.
The director's cut, yeah.
Yep. So,
so he'd get the Icky Island or whatever.
He would get everything. Everything. $30 is what he needs to pay.
I mean, so that's not the worst.
It's not, but it's also like half a game.
It is, yeah. No.
Well, actually, no, because next-gen game, as you can tell, from is $70, so it's a little less than half. Moving forward, games are going to be $70.
Of course. And they've been 60 for a while, so I feel like it's...
Yeah, it's needed.
It's pretty much expected.
Right.
Well. Everything's going up.
Yeah. It does suck, though, when you see that the PS4 version is only 60 compared to your 70.
Yeah. But that's why at that point you just hope you have a PS5.
Yeah, yeah, really.
And then pay the extra $10 and eat it.
But that, yeah, that does... Because, like, you know, for Death Stranding, $10,
yeah.
You don't think anything of that.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then $30, you're starting to... You're
you
starting
spend
to
20 on a Fortnite skin. What's $10 to upgrade your game?
Yeah. But at least, so if you have the PS4 version and you're playing on the PS5, they have the PS5 patch. That's free.
Yeah.
That gives you the 60 frames per second. So
it's solid.
If you played it and you're good and you don't care, at least you got your full experience. You know what I mean?
It's still, that's still weird, though. It's just a weird...
It is such a weird way to... Like, I get it. But, like, when you label it, you almost need, like, an Excel table to figure out this pricing.
Yes. Oh, fuck.
All right. Next news story. Sony acquires Returnal developer Housemarque. Hints Bluepoint is next. This is by John Porter on TheVerge.com. I had to use only this article out of all of them because of he was the only one who mentioned the Bluepoint. So, Sony has acquired Housemarque, the Finnish studio behind the recent PS5 exclusive Returnal. The company announced today. It was announced with a tweet, which suggests Sony might also be able to be about to acquire Bluepoint Games, the studio behind the recent Demon's Souls remaster. In a blog post announcing the acquisition, PlayStation Studios head Herman Holst said that the studio is one with an incredible vision, capable of creating memorable new games that resonate with our community. Although Housemarque has produced games across multiple platforms, including PC, iOS, and Xbox 360, the majority of its recent titles have been exclusively to Sony's platforms. Prior to Returnal, it was best known for the Super Stardust games, which have appeared on the PS3, PS4, and PSP. In a statement, Housemarque's co-founder and managing director, Iari Kudinten, welcomed the acquisition, saying that it gives our studio a clear future and a stable opportunity to continue delivering on gameplay-centric approaches while still experimenting with new methods of narrative delivery and pushing the boundaries of this modern art form. News of the Housemarque acquisition arrived alongside a tweet image that suggests Sony is about to acquire another studio. It appears that when Sony's PlayStation Japan Twitter account tried to tweet about Housemarque acquisition, it accidentally used a promotional image announcing the acquisition of Bluepoint Games instead. The high quality of the image suggests it's official but premature. The original tweet and image have since been pulled, but Twitter user Nibel has verified via TweetDeck that the image came from the official PlayStation Japan account. Bluepoint Games is another studio with a long history of collaboration with Sony, as well as recent Demon's Souls remaster. It also remastered other PlayStation titles like Shadow of Colossus, The Uncharted Trilogy, and Flower. So, I don't understand how this fuck-up happens. So they bought one studio, Studio Japan.
Posted the pick on Twitter of the other studio.
Of the other studio. And this isn't like... let me just set this straight. The image they used wasn't just like a photo they grabbed. This was a custom-made photo with high-resolution imagery with that studio's name in it.
Yeah.
So it's something they had made...
For future purposes.
Yes.
Just wasn't supposed to leak yet.
Yeah, not only that...
Yeah, I don't know how you make that mistake.
They tweeted out about Bluepoint Games before the other Sonys posted about the Housemarque acquisition, which means they thought that was... They probably heard, hey, we bought the studio, thought that was the one they were talking about, and posted it because they knew they were in talks to buy that one as well. Both of them being bought makes sense because they've only been working on PlayStation games lately.
Yeah.
Now, after this, though, the Bluepoint Studio game still has not been announced. Like, they are not bought by, as of this moment, are not bought by Sony. Sony did announce another acquisition of a company called Nixxis. Now, Nixxis Software, a developer located within Netherlands, and what they do is they specialize in porting games to the PC.
Interesting.
In previous, like, discussions, Sony has been talking about bringing their older games to PC. They've already done it with the first Horizon.
Yep.
I believe Death Stranding is on PC as well, which is technically a Sony game.
Yeah.
I think this shows moving forward they will be bringing other games to the PC.
Yeah, Microsoft's been bringing all their games to PC, which we already discussed.
Right, and if you're a PC gamer, right?
Yeah.
You are already getting
kind of best of both worlds.
Regardless. Next gen,
yeah.
You know, performance probably even better than next gen.
Most likely.
So you're not going to go out and buy these next gen consoles anyways.
No.
So they're not taking away from PS5 sales. If anything, they're just boosting their game sales.
Which is what it's a counteract to Microsoft getting all their games on Game Pass and all that. Like,
again,
which we already talked about, that was going to happen.
Right.
That was it's the only way to compete.
I mean, if you...
Especially with the lack of people that can get a PS5.
Right, 100%.
So now you need these games out there. You need other games for people on PC to play.
And they've talked about, like, how they'll have a game sell, like, say, 7 million copies.
Yep.
And it'll sell under what they were projected. But 7 million copies of a game is a fucking lot.
It is a shit ton, but they're probably expecting, like, 20, 30, whatever.
But, like, if you think about it, really the only one who's done, like, 20 to 30 million in the last year?
Yeah.
Animal Crossing. That's, like,
which is crazy.
Like, Pokemon sells, I think, around 15 to 20. But, again, they count both the versions.
Yeah, so that doesn't really... It kind of counts as one at that point.
Yeah. So, it's tough. Because even, like, Smash Bros., right? The highest-selling fighting game of all time. I think that's around 15 million copies sold. Like, those are games that sell a ton. I think, like, Death Stranding only has around 5 to 6 million sold.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't sell 7 million copies of a game and then be like, oh, it underperformed.
What did you expect?
Yeah, or you're spending too much money to make these games.
Yeah, and expecting to get too much out of it.
Mm-hmm. Again, House Marquee has been making games for Sony, only Sony, since 2012. It's not the biggest,
like out of the blue purchase.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing with Bluepoint Game. Bluepoint Game, 2018, made Shadow of the Colossus remake.
Yeah, I remember that.
Gravity Rush remastered in 2015. 2015 also had Uncharted the Nathan Drake Collection by them. So
and then Demon's Souls.
And then they made the PS5 launch game Demon's Souls.
Yep.
So they've been,
that's not out of the blue purchase
and it would
either.
Make
if,
sense.
If they purchased them.
If,
which they probably will.
100%. I bet it's already done.
Oh yeah, no. It's probably already been in. It's already been worked out. It's just not announced yet.
Yep. Not only that, they made these purchases for one reason and one reason only. So Microsoft doesn't come in and buy them and fuck them
up. Yeah, of course. It gives them time to focus on what they want to do with their games, and it gives them focus on making the game.
Yeah, right, and it guarantees those games don't end up anywhere else
them. They will come out just for Sony.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, and hopefully, you know, they'll start bringing some games to PC.
I think that's the bigger part of the news.
That's going
to
be big, yeah.
Everyone
needs to at this point.
I think Nintendo should, too.
Everything's cross-play. Like, no one wants to have to, you know, decide what console to get to play a game.
But even these,
you get it on Access for everything.
Stories, right?
Yeah.
Like, bring at least The Last of Us Part 1. Bring that to PC.
The old games.
Yeah. Like, I understand you want to give your game, say, maybe a year
and a
half.
Yeah, that's fine. But, like, the older, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Bring the first of a trilogy series or whatever, bring it over.
Bring it over.
Bring
man.
Something over.
Yeah.
Let people start playing
it's
it.
It's an easy way to make extra money on the side.
Yeah.
I don't want to say easy because obviously you've
it'll look better
on
my PC.
People will mod the shit out of it too.
Oh, God. GTA 3. People will be bringing tanks in.
Hideo Kojima's deal with Xbox reaches key milestone. This is by Jeff Grubb on VentureBeat.com. Hideo Kojima and Microsoft have signed a letter of intent that states the two parties intend to work out the details on publishing agreement for a new Xbox game. According to sources familiar with the matter, this is a key step in the negotiations between the Metal Gear Solid creator and Xbox company. This signifies that both parties have agreed to generalize deal when lawyers continue to hash out their finer points. Microsoft and Kojima's team have spent months discussing a possible partnership, and now is more likely than ever that the conversation will bear fruit. The deal is so close that Microsoft has begun preparing for what Kojima will need to make his new game. Last week, Microsoft announced that it had hired Portal and Left 4 Dead developer Kim Swift to oversee partnerships for cloud-based games. Swift most recently worked at Google's cloud gaming service Stadia. Microsoft hired her with the purpose of assisting in making Kojima's cloud game a reality. As for what Kojima's game actually is, few people know. The point of the partnership is to unlock the creativity of Kojima production using Microsoft technology as opposed to greenlighting a specific pitch. And then with other publishers like Sony, well, it's very unlikely that Microsoft's deal would prohibit Kojima from working with other companies. For now, Kojima Production continues to work with Sony on Death Stranding's director cut for PlayStation 5. So basically, this has been the rumors for months, and it's getting closer and closer, but Kojima's next game is an Xbox game.
Yeah.
the reason they're doing this is because Xbox doesn't do too well overseas. From the recent like numbers, I've heard the Xbox Series S is killing it in Japan. And why wouldn't it? It's $300.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cheap.
It's pretty cheap. Cloud game is getting bigger.
Next gen.
Yep.
Game Pass.
It's so weird that Kojima's next game is going to be cloud, have something to do with cloud gaming.
That is weird.
But you know how weird he is. Like, I could understand the game being something, and then the cloud gaming being, like, just a part of the game.
What do you mean?
Like, you don't need to be hooked up to the internet to play, but it'll be, like, depending on, say, like, the hour that it is in the real world and where you are, it can pick up that data, and it might affect your game. You just know how weird he is. Like, think about, like, the shit he does. Like, I don't think it's going to be a game that you need to be playing, like, on the cloud.
I feel like most games are now.
You think so? But his games are always story-based. You know, they're not usually multiplayer.
I can't play Ori and the Will of the Wisp without being connected to the internet.
Right, but that's because it needs to confirm you have the license.
It just needs to confirm that I'm logged into something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that you have a legal license to play.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like most games are like that. You need to be logged into something.
Yeah, but I don't know why you...
I mean, maybe if you just log into, like, xCloud offline, like, I don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah,
like,
that's why I don't get what... Because they're hiring a person, a bigwig from Google Stadia, to help assist him specifically.
Which is weird, because Stadia didn't really pop off too well.
Right, but I don't know if that was their fault or it's Google's fault for, like... They did some really weird things with that.
If you didn't need to have a godly connection to run every game, it would be different.
Right.
That's kind of what streaming is. You kind of need a good connection regardless.
Right. It's a
which
weird
is tough
move.
For some people.
But, like, me and you could sit here for, like, 10 hours straight and try to predict what a Kojima game is.
Yeah, no.
And we will never get it.
No.
We will never get it. You know, like, he does shit where... You play the whole game as Snake just to find out you were just a dude disguised as Snake. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, those games go a little crazy. You got vampires in it.
I mean, think about Death Stranding. Think about how weird Death Stranding was.
I mean, Metal Gear just seems like a normal game until you start fighting a vampire.
Or Ghost, or whatever the hell his name is.
Fuck, I'm talking about Vamp.
Yeah. Like, there's so many weird things. There's the girl who has to wear the bikini because she's constantly, like, overheating or whatever. Mist or whatever the hell her name
is. There's some weird things going on in that game. But it starts off normal. Mm-hmm. You just think you're like a normal like soldier guy. And then you start fighting these weird fucking robots that shoot missiles at you.
But he does shit where the game will read your memory card and then talk shit to you about the games you've also played.
When you fight Psycho Mantis, that's the crazy part.
Right.
Metal Gear 1, when he fucking shuts your screen off. Just shuts your TV right off. You're like,
yep.
You think the game's broke.
Don't you have to
unplug
your controller?
And then he starts laughing. You gotta shut your system off. Like, you do some crazy shit. Like, unplug your TV. Like, it actually makes you get up and... I was like, first time I played that, I was like, what the f***
that's
is
what
going
saying.
On right now, bro?
What's
like,
the
I
fight?
Like, I had me scared playing
where
it.
You have to unplug the controller and put it in the second player slot.
That's like Psycho Mantis.
Yeah.
You fight him in 4, too, in Metal Gear 4.
Yep.
You fight the different one, Screaming Man, or something like that.
Yeah.
That one's even fucking crazier. It's like the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta unplug your shit, plug it in another one, unplug your TV, like...
There's the sniper boss, right?
Yep,
the dude, that if you turn it off and you change your game clock to be 10 years in the future, you don't have to fight him because he's just skeleton bones because he sat there and waited too long
and
died.
That might be 3.
But it's
because
just
you have to fight a sniper in 1 and a sniper in 3, but that sounds like 3.
It's just like weird things that he does.
Because the one in 1, you're not going to get out unless you shoot her because she's waiting across the snow mountain for you.
Yep.
And that one's in that bird's eye view, so it's all shitty.
Yeah.
That one was just so... That was such a shitty camera on that
How
one.
How have they not made a remake of those
if
games?
If they made a remake of 1, I'd definitely play it. Because I like the story on that one. It's just in a terrible camera angle. That's the worst part about the game.
It's one of those, like, weird moves that just don't make sense to me.
Yeah, that'd be a perfect remaster. One and 2 would be perfect.
Like, if they do it,
I mean,
like,
honestly, all
service.
Of them, if they did them like how they did 5, like, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
5's crazy.
Right.
There's a scene in 5 which is nuts. I seen it on Facebook. I was like, Jesus Christ. It's just some random girl just killing like 9 people.
Yeah.
Like slaughtered.
And I heard people love the gameplay of 5.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like the story.
I only played 4. 4 was lit.
Yep.
4 was crazy. You see Raiden come back and he's a fucking like cyborg ninja and he's savage.
That's the other weird thing he does, right?
Yeah.
Is that other one that you play
Vamp
as Raiden.
Again. Kills, finally kills him this time, but...
He's
like a cyborg ninja with like swords coming out of his feet, like, and he just saves you out of the blue, like.
Yep.
You're just like, what the fuck is going on right now?
None of it makes sense. Ubisoft's next Assassin's Creed will be a live service game. This is by Matty Myers on Polygon.com. The next game in Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed franchise will unfold across multiple historical settings and receive persistent updates. According to a report from Bloomberg, the game, which is currently codenamed Assassin's Creed Infinity, will join the likes of Fortnite and Apex Legends by offering ongoing updates to keep players engaged. Ubisoft later confirmed it's developing Assassin's Creed Infinity, writing in a blog post that a collaborative cross-studio structure between Ubisoft Montreal and Ubisoft Quebec will guide, grow, evolve, and define the overall future of Assassin's Creed that includes an important upcoming early in-development project codenamed Assassin's Creed Infinity. Recent entries in the 14-year-old Assassin's Creed franchise has ballooned in size. The most recent title, 2020's Assassin's Creed Valhalla, could easily take more than 100 hours to fully explore and compete. In this sense, the Assassin's Creed game have already offered a live service game experience by allowing players to truly devote huge chunks of their time to completing every side quest. The upcoming Assassin's Creed game will be the next logical step in the trend. Since this upcoming game will have to incorporate ongoing persistent updates, it won't take place in just one historical time period, as the previous Assassin's Creed games have done. Instead, it'll contain multiple settings, with the potential to include even more as time goes on. A spokesperson for Ubisoft told Bloomberg that the team hopes to exceed the expectation of fans who have been asking for a more cohesive approach to the series. Rather than continuing to pass the baton from game to game, we profoundly believe this is an opportunity for one of Ubisoft's most beloved franchises to evolve in a more integrated and collaborative manner that's less centric on studios and more focused on talent and leadership, no matter where they are within Ubisoft, said Nathaniel Bouchard, managing director of Ubisoft Quebec. I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit. Update: the story has been updated with confirmation from Ubisoft, which announced the development of Assassin's Creed Infinity will be led by Mark Alexis Cody, who will serve as executive producer of the Assassin's Creed franchise, Ubisoft Montreal's Julien Laferriere, who have been named senior producer, and Jonathan Dumont and Clint Hawken, who will lead as creative directors overseeing the teams at Ubisoft Quebec and Ubisoft Montreal, respectively. What do you think of a live service Assassin's Creed game? I actually think it's smart.
It's smart, but like, what are you going to keep consistently adding that's going to make it different?
The biggest problem with Assassin's Creed games now is if you were to try to complete all side quests, it'll take like 150 hours.
Yeah, which I don't got time for.
No one does.
I don't care about doing side quests like that.
So what if they made like a more centric 20-hour story that you can complete, and then as the weeks go on, they add more stuff to it for you to do, so it's a little bit more condensed and manageable.
But it's still staying a story mode type game?
Yes, I believe so.
It's almost just like adding like a weekly DLC at that point.
Right, but what if instead of paying $60, you pay $5?
Now they're losing money.
They make more money.
If people do it.
Right, I think that's the point.
That's like a risk type situation.
And then
just for story mode content, I don't know how much longer can you get someone's attention?
Well, like, think about it.
It's cool that they're trying to add like more maps to it, so you're not stuck on one spot.
Right.
But like, that's the thing. So if you're adding more maps, now you're gonna have to add content for like each map or however that goes.
What if you think of it like this? Each season is a different story instead.
So like, when it first drops, it gives you like whatever story.
Yep.
You beat it, and then they're like, "Hey, we're dropping a new story in 2 weeks." You're saying it brings you to the new map then?
Yep. And then it's a completely different story with a new assassin that you're.
So you're just a So you're not taking the same guy from this story.
No.
He's not going over to this town.
No.
So you're not going to be able to like, your guy won't get stronger as he goes. Just reset
only
every time.
Only for that season.
But can you keep playing that season, or is it automatically gone once you beat it?
So what if previous seasons?
I feel like
there
should be a way you should go back. Like you could go back to the middle.
Right.
Like I feel like it should be the same assassin.
Well, because if you think about it like this, right? So each season would be a different story with a different assassin. Now you're on your new season, and you're working on it, and now a new player jumps in, and he's on season two. And he's like, I actually enjoy this. I wish I could do season one. What if at that point you can buy the entirety of season one at a fixed price instead of the monthly fee?
At that point, wouldn't you want to just keep going forward? Like, why would you want to – suppose it was $20 to go play the first – like, why would you pay $20 to play the first story when I could just keep waiting for the new story?
Well – if they're dropping content throughout the weeks or whatever, and you're already caught up.
How do you do that? Do you do it weekly? Do you do it monthly?
That's where it gets...
Like, what's too long of
a
gap
season,
to get you uninterested?
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. You'd have to constantly...
Like, you'd have to play around with it first. Like, maybe try a month if people are... You see the the actual people playing drops. Then I have to go every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then see how that goes. If it's still, like, bad, maybe weekly. But that's tough to drop a new 20-hour story in 100%. A week.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you could do that.
Well, that's why I think you, when the season starts, you get, like, a condensed story. And then the additional content
maybe they give you season. Maybe they give you, like, suppose they give you three stories right in the beginning. Yeah. So then it gives them a little bit of a gap where they can start coming out with, like, maybe three more stories.
Right.
And then you get three more stories in a month or two. Yeah. And then they do it like that. At least you have something to hold you over.
Yeah.
And then you're not stuck to one story. It. Maybe you can do each story. Like, suppose you come out, you play a day, you play, like, 10 hours. You're like, oh, I don't want to do this story anymore. Maybe you go do 10 hours of a different story.
Yep.
And then you can go back and finish that one when you want.
Yeah,
but at that point, they'd have to be separate people, because then it wouldn't make sense.
I think it's always, because really in Assassin's Creed,
you
they
do
are
always
separate
you
people.
Always are a new person, but that's like, a whole new game though. Yes. It's not a new story, so that's why it's like if it's it makes sense for one character to go through multiple stories, but not like that. If you can play each at the same time
in the Assassin's Creed lore, you're really an ancestor that they put hook up onto a machine and they're replaying the memories. So if they hook up this dude onto a machine and it's a simulation, they can technically say it's the same guy just going through
just
different
going through
people's
different.
Memories.
So they could do that.
It's kind of, this is kind of really big news in the sense that this is the first like well-known IP that wants to do a live service single player centric.
I feel like it'll
game.
Do well just for the fact that I haven't heard good stuff about Valhalla.
Really?
Like, everyone that I've talked to that's played it said they didn't really like the way it felt. Like, the gameplay,
really?
The controls of the gameplay was off.
Well, because it's a slower Assassin's Creed compared to the other
people
ones.
Didn't, because it's more Viking.
Yeah.
People, from what I heard, it wasn't as good as people thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, this might be big for them.
Yeah. Dude, I'm
that
like...
That game's just been out for so long. Like, I don't know how long you can continue that, like, franchise of a game.
So, I mean, it's doing pretty well still. Like,
still,
numbers...
I mean,
and they're doing the DLC. They've changed it. Because if you remember, it used to be yearly.
Yeah.
And then people kind of got, like, you get too much of something, you
that's
stop
what I'm
caring.
Saying. Like,
so
how
they've
long can you
stop that?
How long can you drag this game out?
That's
I bet the first
one
came out in, like, 06.
Yeah, something
so
like,
it's like...
And that was the Enzio, like, trilogy, if you remember.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
one
yeah.
was 1, 2, the
3,
one.
Yeah. And that's what started off the crazy. That, like, that it was nuts back then.
Yeah.
But, like, how much... I don't know how much longer you can...
Yeah.
You can drag this out and make it better.
Yeah.
Because even on PS3, that was crazy back then. Because that was like one of the first type of games like that to come out like next gen on PS3.
Yeah, yeah.
So like that game was nuts when it dropped.
Big
I
time.
Remember playing one for a grip.
Yeah.
And just not even doing the missions. Just
you're just
killing people in the town. Like.
And it kills you.
And it kills you. Yeah, and then you get they come and body you. Or just jumping off the highest like thing into the haystacks.
Right.
Like, just doing stupid. That game was fun when it first dropped.
Right.
But I don't know how much longer you could drag this out. They've already made, like, what, 10 games?
I think it's even more than that.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even name them off right now. That's how many games there are.
Well, it's the Black Flag, which
like
is the pirate
Black
one.
Black Flag, Revolution.
Yeah. Unity.
Freaking Unity.
Unity
is the pirate
one.
Like,
Black Flag is the pirate one. All
right.
What's the Revolution
Valhalla.
One?
There's the one before Valhalla.
Origins?
Yeah, it might be Origins, because you go to, like, different cities.
It's like Rome and all.
Yeah,
no,
like
not Rome.
Paris, like, that type of shit. Like,
yeah.
There's one that you go to, like, multiple cities.
Yeah. It's,
there's
well,
just so fucking many.
The problem with the newer ones, like, they
And there's, like, that older one, like, the British-type style.
Well, that's the Revolution one
oh,
where
is
you're
that
actually,
Revolution?
Like, a Native American.
Yeah, you're like, no, you're, like, a fucking, like, American soldier, like,
right,
fighting the British.
You're
like,
a Native American that fights for the American.
So it's, like, that one's crazy. Like,
yeah.
There's just so many of them.
Yeah, no, there's a ton of them. But that's the thing with the newer ones, like you're like, oh, you go to multi, they're super, super huge open worlds.
Yeah.
Where it's gonna take like 150 hours to complete everything.
Yeah.
Where people just kind of get lost and don't even finish the game because they spend so much time doing other stuff, and then they run out of time and a new game comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem with putting too much content out one shot.
Yeah.
You don't have enough time to finish the fucking other game.
Only like the whales who have all the time can do it.
Yeah. I don't have time for that.
And then last news story of the week, GTA 6 will be reportedly out in 2025.
Nice.
Will include Fortnite-like evolving map.
That is great.
This is by Darren Bonthius on GameSpot.com. I want you to know that since the last Grand Theft Auto came out...
I was going to say, when was that, 2018?
2013. Since the last Grand Theft Auto came out, I had graduated from high school, graduated from college, and been a civil engineer for 4 years. Granted, it came out the year I graduated from high school, but still, like,
still.
It happened that year.
I thought it was like at least 20, like 18 20, or something.
So it was one of the last PS3.
GTA 5?
GTA 5 was one of the last Xbox 360 PS3 games to come out. It needed two discs at the time, one for the single player and one for the multiplayer.
Did it?
Yep. And then they finally had, when the new consoles launched, like the upgraded version.
I must have got the upgraded one because I only remember having one disc.
Yeah. Though you probably had the PS4 version.
That game was lit when it came out.
Oh, 100%.
Got to
and
play
the online
three stories.
The online is still crazy, though. And that's why it's still so big.
And now people are modding it and shit.
Yeah.
Well, what else are you going to do when it takes 12 years to come out with GTA 6?
Well, I don't even think they've been working on it. I think the online has been making so much money that they don't even
want
it.
Well, the online, it's funny because it started off not popular. That started getting popular like 3 years after the game came out.
Yeah.
Like, no one cared about the online until like 3 years later.
Yeah.
Like,
well, because they added more and
more
content.
They added way
more
shit to
it
and made it like fun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's the only reason why that game's still going.
Yeah, look, it has been more than 8 years since the last Grand Theft Auto game, which is the longest gap between games in the series history by a considerable margin. One leaker with a solid track record has shared some information, however, says wait until Grand Theft Auto 6 release. Won't be over until 2025, something which Take-Two's statements during a recent shareholder event backed up recently. It's no wonder they're bringing GTA 5 to the PS5 and Xbox Series X. Tom Henderson, who previously leaked Call of Duty and Battlefield 2042 details, has released a new video, and in it, he claimed that GTA 6 will be set in a modern-day version of Vice City. This runs contrary to previous reports that GTA 6 will be set in 1980s, with Henderson claiming that developer Rockstar wants to ensure as much freedom as possible for its staff when it comes to creating content for GTA Online. Henderson also discussed the potential for the GTA 6 map to change over time, similar to how Epic Games regularly overhauls its Fortnite map during end-of-season events. There was also a mention of a GTA 6 having multiple playable characters, something which GTA 5 introduced in the series when it first came out. Even these rumors are true, fans are going to be in for a very long wait due to several factors. Henderson said that Rockstar has placed a greater emphasis on employee well-being in the wake of several reports detailing the crunch work conditions that were implemented before Red Dead Redemption 2 came out. The new GTA is believed to be coming to PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PC, and they are new to the market. Rockstar is allegedly waiting for more systems to be sold as they maximize sales. That's actually a good point, too.
Yeah.
Why release a game when no one has the consoles?
That's true.
Rockstar is allegedly waiting for more systems to be sold so to maximize sales. Henderson also added that since Rockstar wants to avoid delaying the game, GTA 6 won't be announced early, and thanks to the constant revenue stream of GTA 5, Rockstar has the luxury of being able to take its time with development on a sequel. It's worth being skeptical of any GTA 6 reports until Rockstar officially reveals the game. But these claims do line up with previous leaks. To keep up to date with Gaiman's current Pepe Silvia, you can check out our hub of GTA 6 rumors and fan speculation. I honestly...
Smart moves.
Yeah.
Not releasing any info too early.
Yeah.
And...
Because look how many times that bites everyone in the ass.
They're lucky they have the luxury that GTA 5 is doing good, because now they can actually take their time, which is kind of like a... It's kind of like a pro and a con, because now it's like... Now they might take too much time because GTA 5. So if people stop playing GTA 5, maybe they'll entice them to hurry up.
GTA 5 is too powerful.
I know, but I feel like people, now knowing this, knowing that, like, you know, they can sit on it because GTA 5 is doing so, that might make people not want to play it.
No way, because so many streamers play it for, like, their life.
Yeah, because they fucking mod it up and stuff. But, like, if you're just playing the normal game, I feel like it can't be that much fun forever.
There's no way anyone still plays the single player of that game.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. But, like, even online without mods, I don't know how long you can stay interested.
Dude, they add so much shit to that. There's, like, racing now.
But not knowing that they could drop this game anytime they fucking want. They're just not gonna.
But even if we were all stopped playing so they have to drop it, it's not even close to, like...
No, I know.
So
but
it's
it probably could have been
if
GTA 5 didn't do so well.
I've actually heard... that Red Dead Redemption 2 Online gets the full support that it gets, not because it does so well, but because the GTA 5 does so well that it affords enough for both of them.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't hear anyone ever playing Red Dead Redemption 2 Online.
I used to hear about it a little bit, but not anymore.
Not anymore.
No. But I still hear people play GTA 5. I still see it all over
all
my Facebook gaming.
It's still one of the biggest stream games.
It's all over my Facebook gaming.
Yeah.
And I seen Dwayne The Rock Johnson it the other day, just flipping over freaking trucks, like... Just like, yo, they just put way too much shit in this, dude. Like, tall-ass Ant-Man just walking through buildings. Yep. Like, it's like, come on. Like, they find whatever they can think of to put in this game.
Yeah, to mod it, yeah.
Yeah, like, anything.
I've seen, like, the Superman mods and people fly around.
Oh, anything. Magneto. Yeah. You can just rip in cars off, like.
You know, Grand Theft Auto 5, if you look at the weekly sales for video games, is always in the top 10. Because I'm sure. When you buy a new copy, it comes with, like, 10,000 virtual credit.
Oh, yeah.
So Walmart, because the game's so old, puts it on sale for $6.
Yeah. Like, so people just buy it.
We'll buy 10 copies because $6 for 10,000 virtual credit is cheaper than going to their marketplace.
And getting that, yeah.
So it always is in the highest selling.
People just buy a whole new disc.
But they'll buy 10 of them at a time.
Yeah, I know. Just get all that 100,000?
Whatever the hell it is, yeah. It's insane the way that this game still is. It's like this game and Mario Kart 8 are just never going to stop selling.
I was going to say, I definitely had that game in high school,
which I was in high school.
My senior year
I was
of
a sophomore
school.
When this shit came out.
2013.
That's crazy.
Well, technically, it came out the end of that year, so you would have been in junior.
I was
junior.
Going into
yeah.
junior year, yeah. But still.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this
was, that was a fun game when it came out. I probably played that for like a good 2 years. And then.
It's the only.
Because I don't even think I don't think online came out right from the jump.
No, it wasn't.
I think it took a couple years for that to come out.
No. It came out a couple months later, I believe.
I don't know. I feel like it came out like a year after.
Well, I'll tell you right now. It might. I don't think it was that
far. I feel like there was a little bit of a gap between it because I didn't. There was nothing I could do after I played the story for a little bit.
GTA 5 online release date is September 17th, 2013. So that's the same year.
When the game come out though.
17. Actually, they were out together.
They came out at the same time?
Yep.
I didn't think it was the same time.
Grand Theft Auto 5 Online, released on October 1, 2013. So September, October, came out the next month.
Oh, all right. So I thought it was a little bit, I thought it was more, but.
Yep.
I just don't think people played it as much back then. I feel like it didn't start getting popular until like after I got out of high school.
I will say when it online did come out, I did play it because I remember I played with my little brother.
But you definitely couldn't do as much as
you
could do now.
No, you absolutely cannot. Because I remember
you couldn't do random like missions and just
no,
like
nope. When I remember it was a big deal when heists came out.
Because I feel like at first it started off as just co-op missions, and then they started adding and then they started adding the heist, and then they started adding like cops and robbers and shit, and then you could just do whatever the fuck you wanted at that point.
Right. Because when it first came out, we were working on basically getting our own money. Yep. To buy our own base and then have, like, decent cars.
Yeah.
And you had to, like, buy a house because that would be where you store your cars.
Yeah.
Because if not, you would never have a car.
I feel like Leonard used to play that a lot.
Yes, yeah.
I feel like you guys used to play that a lot.
And we would do the heists. Yeah. Dude, we were heavy into the online for, like, a couple months.
You could just, like, walk up and just shoot people and just kill them, like, just die.
But the other thing is people could come up to you. Like, other people online could come and kill you, too.
That's what I mean. Fucking, they just come up and shoot you. You're just riding down the street.
I think that's the only thing that scares me about GTA 6 is, like, how much priority do they put into the story compared to the online now?
Maybe they do the same thing.
Yeah.
Just wait a month, drop the online, and then...
I don't think they can. I think at this point you
just
separate...
Just drop the online first or separately?
I think you make GTA Online its own
online.
Thing. Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
And then GTA 6 is just the
just
story.
Just the story, but you can't drop it for 70, can you?
I don't know.
Who's going to buy it when you got the free-to-play online?
People still love the story. Because, again, GTA 5 had a great story.
You look like a character from GTA 5 right now.
Which one?
You just look like you could be in GTA 5 with those
glasses
on.
I feel like everyone can.
Not with those glasses, though.
You like these? My gaming
You look
glasses?
Like a guy that would be like running a business and they just come in and blast you. I guess part of a mission.
Put these on. Tell me if you can see the difference. I know I'm colorblind, but it really messes up with the color skew.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's like a whole nother world, right?
It's weird.
I got those off of Amazon called gaming glasses.
It's all like bright and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But how much do these cost?
$6, $6 or $7.
No, I'm into it.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, you use those, you won't have a headache, dry
games?
Eyes. Yeah. Oh, it helps a lot.
Will it help on colorblind mode? Because I still play.
Oh,
on
come on, come on.
It'll probably make it even brighter. Because everything's like matte bright.
Yeah, it skews everything a little bit. It blocks the blue light.
It gives everything like a yellow tint.
It gives it something.
Everything's right. Got like a bright yellow tint.
That's going to do it for this week of the After Hour Nerd Podcast. You can find me on Twitter @AHN_gags.
Follow me on PC, PapaDill22.
Yes, sir.
Is there...